There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Remember the website, fmtalk1065.com. And this will be one of those hours you want to go grab the podcast later and share that. And remember, it's just as easy as going to fmtalk1065.com, clicking the link for podcast, and you can get them a la carte there. Or better yet, subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher. You go to Spotify, TuneIn Radio, our podcast on all those platforms. Get subscribed and get them delivered right there to your smartphone. Mentioned this last hour, somebody that I had found out about through a mutual friend, Cam Marston. Of course, you hear his show Wednesday nights here at FM Talk 106.5. And he started talking about this guy, Matt, that was going to be on his show. And Cam and I were sitting there talking. The more he started talking about Matt, I said, yeah, tell me about this guy, because he was kind of laying out who was going to be on the show. He said, yeah, Matt Armbruster with Ransom Ministries. And he started telling me a little bit of the story. And I said, be quiet, Cam, I want to talk to the man himself. So he's joining us in studio today. Matt, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Well, it is really, no, it's an honor to have you in here. Cam was telling me about you, and I said, this guy is awesome. This guy's awesome. What you're doing here with Ransom Ministries. And I said, I want to find out, because I got about 50 questions, 60 questions for you at least here, and get you in and talk in person. Ransom Ministries. People hear that name. What do y'all do? What is Ransom Ministries?
All right, well, we started out in 2010 as just a donation-only cafe where people came in, ordered off a menu with no prices.
People know that cafe, very that name,
so they
yeah.
come in. It was at different churches. We had 7 locations. They come in, order off a menu with no prices, pay whatever they can. If they couldn't pay anything, they swept floors or did something to kind of buy into it, but also know that we are in this together. We weren't here to give free handouts. We were here to work together. So we started that. And then as we got to know people, because that's a great way to get to know, if you sit down and eat with someone, they're going to share things with you that they normally wouldn't.
Sure.
I think it's a very biblical thing. Jesus loved to eat according to the Bible. So we sat down and ate with them, and then we found out other needs they had. And if it was a need that was being met in our community, then we would just, you know, send them on to them. Or if it was a need that wasn't, we tried to figure out how can we meet that need. So, a lot of different things happened. I met a lot of great people. My whole goal was to empower the churches to do those ministries. So now, really, they run the cafes all by themselves. I don't even go to the cafes anymore. But I also have some... I didn't really understand what they were going through, really. So I went homeless on purpose.
Okay, yeah, this I read this. So you, into getting the people that you're serving, mm-hmm. and the homeless people here, you figured... You better understand it organically, to be cliche, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So you decided to be homeless on purpose.
Yeah, and I fought it. I didn't want to do it. And we don't just serve homeless. We serve people with barriers to get back into society, whether that be employment, housing, food, whatever it is. I think all those things are important. But ultimately, our goal should be to... show them who they are and understand that what they did is not who they are. It's just something they did.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like us. We do things, our jobs or whatever. That's not who we are.
Right.
Who we are is who our character is. Who we are is how we treat other people. And who we are is how we act when no one's looking. And so we teach a lot of that. But anyway, I went homeless. I didn't care for it. It was the worst 4 days. Luckily, it was only 4 days. Say I went homeless.
So where did you do this, Matt? How'd you?
I just went in Mobile. You know, I had a backpack, a tent, $10, and one change of clothes, and I just started walking. I didn't know where I was supposed to go. I just started walking, and I walked for literally 3 hours. But one thing is we had it rained like a Mobile, Alabama downpour rain in February. And it was miserable. Everything I had was soaked. And I'm trying to find a place. And, you know, there's homeless people out there probably laughing. Oh, yeah, you really went homeless. It was 4 days. Because I know people that have been homeless 4 years. I couldn't experience every single thing that they deal with. But I experienced some of it. And one was just frustration. Frustration of not wanting to be there, you know, and seeing other people drive by with their families dry and I'm sitting there soaking wet or walking by church. So anyway, I did that for 4 days. I found a lot of things, you know, out about people. First of all, that they treat you differently if you have a backpack on. Even though I was no different than them, they didn't know that.
Right.
But they saw me as different. So when we see people, we automatically assume they're a certain way, right? We assume when they come out of prison, they're a certain way. They're just criminals. Or if they're homeless, they're lazy or whatever. We have those assumptions until you get to know them. And to me, I want to get to know them first. So I want to talk to them. I want to figure out what's going on. Why are they there? Where are they at? Because almost every time when you get to know someone's story, something happened along the way that caused them to be where they are. It's a trauma. You know, you get cut, or we were talking about sports earlier.
Yeah.
If you break your arm, that's a trauma that's going to affect you if you don't get it taken care of. So if you don't fix that arm, you don't get it set, you don't get the cast put on, then it's going to affect you the rest of your life. Well, they've gone through traumas that we can't even fathom. You know, there's people out there that see their mom or dad murdered in front of them, or they see their parents beat each other, or they see their parents beat them.
Right.
That's a trauma that we can't fathom or we don't understand, but that's a trauma. That's way worse than cutting your arm.
Right.
But if you don't heal that over time, you're going to self-medicate. That's where the alcohol and drug addiction comes in. Or you're going to seek out love in other places. That's where prostitution, sex trafficking, all those things come along. Or you're just going to blend into society. And so what I've tried to do over the time is just get to know people. You know, I just want to know your story. You know, I'm not trying to make you believe the way I believe. What I'm trying to do is understand your story. Because it's not, we need to ask the question, not what's wrong with you, but what happened to you? What happened along the way? That, because I think it's pretty safe to say that no one, when they're 8 years old, says, you know what, I want to grow up to be an alcoholic.
Right.
Or I want to grow up to be a drug addict, or I want to grow up to be a criminal or a drug dealer or whatever. You don't grow up that way. So there's something along the way that happens. Some people it's real early. Other people it's later on in life. Some people it's when they're adults. I've had people in my classes that are 70-some years old.
Wow.
And when their spouse passed away, when they've been married for 50, 60 years, they don't know how to handle it. So that was their trauma that caused them to fall into addiction.
Now, you look at the our city, our area, and dealing with this, and you talk about this, their stories. I imagine that these folks you deal with are glad that somebody's, I'm not saying for everybody, but I imagine they're glad that somebody cares about their story.
I want to think they are. I think they are.
I mean, I imagine folks like this. You talked about how when you were out for those 4 days in the backpack, the way people look differently at you, there's not a lot of people asking that person's story, right? There's not a lot of people asking the story of that person who's standing on the corner.
That's right.
So you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are as an organization. I could never do all of it.
Right,
so
but Ransom Ministries is asking their story.
That's right. Is Ransom? That's what I want to know. I don't want to know what your belief system is. I don't want to know why you're where you're. I want to know your story. You know, tell us your story.
Because you're trying. I mean, because the way you made the analogy, the broken arm, you're trying to find out what's broken, right?
Yeah,
how to fix it? How do you make a diagnosis?
Exactly. It's kind of like when our kids can't talk and they get hurt or they're sick. We have to go through all these different avenues to figure out what's wrong with them.
Where's it hurt? What'd you do?
Yeah, what happened? So it's kind of the same thing. We're just trying to figure out, okay, where did all this go wrong? Where do you think it went wrong? You know, and I'm not there to fix anyone. That's not my job. My job is just to be there. Mm-hmm. Our job is to be there for people, and then I believe, my belief system is Jesus takes care of that. He's going to take care of that. He's going to heal all those things. I can't do anything, just be available.
But you as a tool there, you're giving people a reason. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk about that as you take these people and give them purpose. Yeah. I mean, that's what we, I think, as you know, we're talking about waking up in the morning, put your shoes on, your pants on, your shoes on, get up and going. Yeah. You got to have a purpose in life.
That's right.
All right, come back more, and we'll talk more about this with Matt Armbruster. Ransom Ministries, tell you more about the story of how he's helping those folks right here in our own community. Returning here in just a couple minutes on Midday Mobile. Check news next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, welcome back. Our conversation with Matt Armbruster from Ransom Ministries. Getting questions here on the text line, too. More information about Ransom Ministries. Y'all online? Where can they find out more?
Yeah, we are. RansomMinistries.com.
Okay.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I even have Snapchat for the young ones. So we're all on those ways.
You're hip.
Keep up. Yeah, I am. That's what, well, my kids probably don't think I am, but I try to be.
This is a obviously a calling, and let's talk about that, because before we got started, you and I were in here talking about football and the Midwest, and then you come here to Mobile. How does somebody from Kansas end up working with folks through a ministry in Mobile, Alabama?
And that is a really good question. I ask myself that all the time. How did I get all the way from Ellis, Kansas, in the middle of Kansas, wheat country, all the way down here? I believe God sent me here. You know, God brought me here, not sent me here. He brought me here to learn things, because I didn't always have faith. I mean, I was more believing myself than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I kind of lived that when I was playing sports in college and different things. But as I got faith and found Christ here in Mobile, he just gave me a heart for people no one else wanted. You know, no one else really wanted to look at. No one else wanted to, and they're tough. You know, it's much easier to grab a couple kids and go have a snow cone or whatever, but it's harder when you're grabbing a guy that has felony charges for murder and you're trying to get him back into the workplace. But I believe this. I believe that I'm helping kids along the way because I'm helping their dads.
Absolutely.
Or their moms.
And there's lots of people that will go help the kids.
Yeah.
There's very few they're doing what you're doing. So it's a blessing to our community. Let's talk about that program, what you're doing with these people, whether they have felony conviction or drugs in their past or whatever it is. You're teaching skills. You have this course. Talk about how this works.
Okay, so, you know, we had the cafes. We talked about that. I was getting to know them, but and I believe the Bible says we'll always have the poor, but I asked God one day, I said, why do we have to have the same ones all the time?
Right.
Why can't we get them out of this? How are we going to get them out of it? And I felt like, I feel like it's work. You know, if we can get them back to work, if we can get them back to, especially guys want to provide for their families.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do it no matter how that is. It could be through crime if they can't get a job. So what we started was reprogram. We wanted to reprogram the way they were thinking about themselves, about other people, about God, about their community, about work, and try to reprogram, because many of the people that we serve don't even know how to keep a job. They've never had no one show them, because we have a lot of generational poverty where people have been poor for years, and so that's all they've seen. They've not seen anyone like model going to work every day or being a good steward of what. So we teach a lot of character. We teach how to be on time, how to be coachable, how they're going to be honest. And so here's the thing. I tell them this. I say, so they go into class. It's reprogrammed. They get 16 classes. They sit through a two-hour class. We teach everything from shaking your hand, looking you in the eye. We have them get in front of the class and share their story, because I think it's important that they can share that in front of people, because when they're sitting in front of an employer, they need to be confident in who they are. So I teach them who they are, that they're no longer that what they've done. They are fearfully and wonderfully made according to the Word, and also they are made with a purpose. All of us have a purpose. We've just lost it sometimes, and a lot of times, if you're in poverty, you lose it and you can't get it back because you don't have the means to get it back, or you don't have the people around you to show you. See, people that have the means, they can kind of lose their way sometimes, but they have the way to get back of it. But some people don't. So we started a reprogram, and we had guys, man, coming out of the woods, you know, for 4.5 years, go in our class. They're now been employed for 5 years. They're working.
Wow.
They're found purpose. And so I see that. Now, I can share stories where it don't work. We have about an 80% graduation rate, and about a 75% of those get meaningful work. That means they
go to work. That's fantastic, Matt.
They go to work and they stay at least a year. And so we're tracking
that's
them
fantastic.
Over time. It's phenomenal to watch. It's nothing we've done. We've just imparted a tool. So we say, what does our ministry do? You know, people say, what do you do? And I say, we're tool givers. You know, all I'm doing is giving them tools, right? I give the same tools to this guy, and I give the same tools to this guy. What he does with them is really all about them, who they are really in deep inside. So I tell them all the time, I can give you a hammer, and you can do one of two things. You can build a house, or you can tear a house down.
All right.
But you choose. That's your choice. I can't really make you do what you're doing. So
but you can teach them to use the hammer.
But I can teach them how to use a hammer. So, and again, we have some great volunteers. We have people that are coming alongside us. We have teachers teaching trauma-informed care. We have teachers teaching resume writing. We have teachers teaching how to interview. We have them talking about, you know, we take biblical characters and we turn it into real life. You know, we look to talk about Joseph. Well, Joseph was a man of character, even when he was put in prison and he didn't deserve it, or he was so just because you don't deserve it don't mean you can just lose your character. And I tell them also, we tell our students that character doesn't cost a dime. You know, you don't have to have education. You don't have to go to college. You just have to be a person of character. And you can practice that from day one. So we get them to practice. The reason we talk a lot about characters, we do these employer roundtables where I bring employers in and say, hey, what do you look for in an employee? And almost every time, very seldom do they say education.
Right.
You know, doctor, of course, you're going to have sure. education. But most of the ones I bring in, they say, I just want someone that'll show up, stay all day, and be coachable. That's all I want. And I'm like, that is simple. That's sad yes. that's where we've come to.
But that's true. You hear that. I'm talking on the show. People will call me. I can't find employees. Why can't you find an employee? Right now it's because the way the labor market is. But in the past, when there were a lot of people, they said, there's all kind of applicants, but they don't show up.
Yep.
They don't work the full day.
Yep.
They're not accountable.
Mm-hmm. And those are simple things. Those are things that...
Those things don't cost a dime. You don't have to go to any university to get that.
No. And my dad taught me those.
Right.
So see a lot
but
of
But you're
my
pointing
guys,
out that you and I assume my dad did too.
Yeah.
But not everybody had that.
Not everybody had a role model to do that. So a guy told me one time, he goes, telling a guy just to get a job, because I've done that. When I first started this, I'm like, why don't they just go get a job? Why don't
right.
they just
well, that's
go
what
work?
We all think. Okay, so tell somebody who thinks that way. I mean, you've been on the front lines of this. So why is that not, why doesn't that not work?
A guy told me one time, he says, it's like telling a blind guy to read. He don't know how.
Right.
He's never even done it. He's never had no one show him how to do it. Or so if you just say, go get a job, they're like, okay, well, how? I can go get one, but I can't keep it. How am I going to keep it? And that's by being a person of character and doing the things. So you have to teach those soft skills, because soft skills are huge. I mean, if we don't teach those to our kids coming up or whoever, they're not going to have them. So then you get on the job, you might be the best worker in the world. You might be a strong, you know, strong as an ox and do the things you want to do. But if you don't show up, they're not going to be able to depend on you. So that's kind of what we teach in Reprogram. And as we went along, I was like, you know, I need to find out. So I partner with the Home of Grace, which is a women's rehab, drug, alcohol. I bring them in, and I'm part of their 90-day program. So, and it's been great to watch them not go back to the Home of Grace, because there's a lot of people come back to it a lot. I mean, that's just part of it. If you don't have the skills to keep out of it. So, but I've seen a lot of them now, they're getting jobs, they're staying at work, they're doing the things because they realize that they can do it. So we started that partnership, but then I was missing a few guys, like guys that, you know, grow up in Alabama Village or somewhere like that, where they can't just come sit in a classroom. First of all, a lot of them have dropped out of high school, so how are they going to – they're not going to sit in a class.
Right.
I mean, they don't want to. That's why they dropped out of high school.
Right.
And so I wanted a place they could work. Like, they can make a living. They can make a little small wage, but they could also learn the skills I'm teaching in those classes. So we started Ransom Recycling. We tried all kind of – I built crosses out of old pallets, trying to sell them, trying to give them work, but I couldn't generate enough revenue to do that. So I found this place. Actually, it was so funny. I was just asking God, really, what am I supposed to do? And I got this word, e-recycle, in my head, and I'm like, what the heck is e-recycling? And so I Googled it, right, like all of us do, and we can't figure something out. And I found electronic recycling. And so I started researching. I found a place in Indianapolis, Indiana, that's been doing it for 15 years, and they take prisoners straight out of prison. They put them to work. They teach them job skills. They get OSHA certificates. They get all these things. So me and one of my guys that actually runs the recycle part, Cameron, we went to Indianapolis and hung out with them for a few days. And they taught me a ton of stuff. And so we came back.
You brought that back here.
We came back and we started it January 1st. We've processed 208,000 pounds of e-waste since we started.
That's a lot of electronics.
I have three guys employed right now that are working. I've graduated one. Just an example, one was homeless, living in an abandoned house. He now has an apartment. He has a driver's license. He has a vehicle. He's working on paying off some fines that he had. So it works. I believe it works.
Right.
I mean, I've seen it work. And so I just need people to believe it works, you know? So we started e-recycling. They call them social enterprises.
Okay.
Where you're generating money to pay for the program.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to depend on donors as much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you still got to depend on donors because it doesn't
pay their
price.
But you're teaching, but at the same time, you're not just getting, you're teaching the donation.
Yeah.
And doing e-recycling, you're teaching a skill at the same time you're funding part of the ministry.
That's right. And so what they learn.
I like that a lot.
What they learn there is not, okay, they're tearing electronics apart. You can't break it. It's already broke. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter. They're learning how to show up to work. They're learning how to stay at work for the whole day. They're learning how to follow directions. They're learning how to attention to detail. They're learning how to problem solve. They're learning how to do all the things that we need to do on a job, because all of us have to do those no matter what our job is. So they learn all those over a course of time. Now, that course of time is dictated by how many roadblocks they have. So if they have probation, we let them stay with us until they get through probation.
Okay.
Or if they have a driver's license, we stay there till they get their driver. So that way, when they go on to the workforce, they're as successful as they can be. They're set up for success. I'm not just throwing them out there and, oh, well, you know, right. You're done.
You're giving them the tools.
Yeah, and we might keep them for year and a half, 2 years. It doesn't matter. I want them to be successful. So we're giving them those tools.
We come back from the break, Matt. I want to talk about, I want to hear about the mechanic. Talk about that success story. Also, I'm getting people on the text line asking how they can help, and I want to get into how they can help and how this e-cycling works and what you're doing. Ransom Ministries, you can go online, get more information. Plus, we'll roll out the answers to your questions when we come back right here on Midday Mobile. Phone number and text line 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 134 FM Talk 106.5. And Midday Mobile, Matt Armbruster, Ransom Ministries, our guest. And listen, you've got a lot of people texting and emailing in wondering how they can help. And you know what? Count me in that group. How can we help? What do we do to help Ransom Ministries?
Okay, there's a few ways. Of course, you can give us old electronics. I tell people we take anything with a cord. Anything that plugs in the wall, we'll take it.
Okay.
It can work. It cannot work. It doesn't really matter. We're going to tear it apart anyway. The only thing that I ask for a fee is for CRT televisions, which are your old glass type tube televisions.
Those are the big square ones, not the flat.
Big ones. And then on the other televisions also, because there's mercury in it. So what happens is I don't have the facility right now to process those two things, so I have to ship those to the place in Indianapolis that I was talking about.
Okay.
So we're actually helping prisoners up there too.
Okay.
Because they're processing them. But so it's $10 for anything smaller than a 27, $20 for anything bigger than a 27. So that just gives you an idea.
Okay, so that's for those cathode ray tubes.
Yeah, everything else, no fee. We even will set up pickup for anything more than like 15 or 20 pieces. So if you have...
What about computer stuff? Anything
with a cord. Anything.
You said to me during the break, or maybe you said it in the last, you said vacuum cleaner?
Vacuum cleaners. There's motors in them. We take those. There's even boards in some of them. So we take them apart, and then I separate those. I separate the steel from the aluminum. I don't. The guys do.
Right.
Separate the boards out, plastic. So that's one way you can help. Another way, of course, you know, we're a 501c3 organization. You can donate to us online. You can become a monthly donor, which is our Fab 500. Anything $10 and above, you'd be part of that. You can. We have a dinner coming up. We do our annual luncheon. It's at the Steeple downtown.
Great place. Great venue.
2 weeks from today, 11 to 1, and it's at the again at the Steeple. We'll have a luncheon there. There's tickets online at our website, ransomministries.com. And we'd love to have you at that. You'd learn a little bit more about what we do. We have James Barber as our speaker, who has a lot of the same thoughts about second chances and getting people, not just putting them in prison, because you're not going to arrest your way out of our problems. You're going to have to figure out how to rehabilitate.
I've heard that from his mouth before, the public safety director.
So me and him kind of have the same thoughts on that. So he's going to be our speaker. I got Devin Walsh as our MC. So it's going to be a great day. But you're invited to that. So that's one other way. Another way is we need teachers all the time to teach some of our classes. So if you're good at, like, resume writing, or you're good at interviewing, that might be something you could do. We do mock interviews, so you could actually interview the students. Also, we need employers to come in and sit through our employer roundtable to tell people what they look for, and also answer questions from our students. So there's a lot of ways you can
specific.
Get involved.
I mean, it's specific. That's what I like, is you're inviting these business owners in to tell them, to tell these folks exactly what they're looking for in an employee, not some kind of wishy-washy amorphous thing. It's, here's what we need.
Yeah. And then they'll ask questions like, hey, what do you think of a felon? Do you hire felons? Right. Or do you, what's your drug policy? Because most of our students, their sobriety is important to them. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to go work for somewhere that does have no drug policy. So they're not asking so they can get over on the drug. They're asking so they know that everybody around them.
They don't get put back in with the folks who can get them.
That's other ways you can get involved. But I believe this. If you get involved with us, you'll see, you'll either get a passion for it or you'll run from it, one of the two, because it is a tough thing to do.
Well, you are passionate about this. I can see it in your eyes. I mean, this is, how long have you been doing this?
We're going on our ninth year.
And I mean, you are like, there's not a jaded bone in your body, I can tell. I mean, you are fully into this. This is your calling.
I believe this is what I was made to do, but also, I've learned that I have no control. I had to get over that, because I'd let people hurt my feelings when they didn't do what they're supposed to, or people talk bad about me. Because there are people that, you know, because I tell people the truth, you know, and if I don't think you need this, then I'm going to tell you. Because I think that's what we need. We need people to be truthful with us.
Right.
And so I might push people the wrong way. But I've learned that don't take that personal. You know, a lot of times people do things to us. Even the lady at the Walmart checkout, she might be ugly to you, right, but you don't know what she's going through. You don't understand the day she's had,
right,
where she woke up. So I've learned to not take those things personal and just do what I was called to do. And I am passionate about it, because I not only want to see people understand who they are, I want to see them go beyond what they see. Because a lot of times we want to enable people, and that's because there's different stages, right? There's relief. Like when there's a hurricane, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, we bring in water, we bring in all that, but what would happen if we just kept bringing in all that water? That's all we did. We bring water, food, clothes,
right,
forever.
Right.
They would never get to the point where they were before.
Right.
That's rehabilitation. Rehabilitation brings us back to where we are. Bring back to where we were before we had whatever happened to us.
Whatever trauma.
And then we want to go into development, right? If we never go past those stages, I use the example of Baton Rouge, because we went over there with our laundry trailer. If I'd have just kept going back every single week to wash clothes and give them water and food, then they would have come dependent on me.
Right.
And then when I didn't show up, they'd be mad at me.
Right.
Right? So that's what a lot of times we do as ministries, is we want to just keep giving stuff to people because it makes us feel good.
That's right.
Plus, it's easier.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot easier than getting to know somebody. I'm just going to... I mean, it's easier for me to give you
truth.
$20.
That's truth.
So we want to move to rehabilitation. I want them to understand where they were before all this happened. So before the trauma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then let's go to development, man. I'm going to make you better than you even think you can be. And I'm not going to make you. I'm going to give you the tools so that you can realize I can be more than I even thought I could be. And that's what I'm passionate about. I'm really, you know, we did the cafes and all that for a long time, and I love that because I believe that's how God got me into it, because I knew about food. I ran restaurants.
You come from the food industry, right?
Well, that's what brought me to the South. I worked for Hooters Restaurants for 8 years, which is kind of ironic. But so I moved to, so food was the way God got me into it. But then now, you know, food's still going.
Yeah.
Other people are doing it. But my passion now is to do the development part. Let's start developing them once they rehabilitate back to where they're at. And really part of our program is rehabilitation, too, because they have to understand where they are. But then let's move on to development. And that's my passion right now. My passion's getting the word out to people that are saying, you know what? You don't know the people, man. Let's get to know them first. Let's not build more jails. I said this, and I'm probably getting in trouble, but that's the dumbest thing I ever heard, is to build more jails. Really, we're going to put more people in overcrowded jails, and then we're going to overcrowd those because, again, we're not going to arrest our way out of this problem. We got to get the ones. There are people that need to be in jail.
There are some people, yes.
I've met them, and they need to be there.
Yes.
But there's some that don't, that just need to have somebody teach them these things. And I think our money from government level to wherever needs to start being poured into these programs because we have the greatest workforce, and I've met a lot of them, sitting in our jails. Or sitting on the streets because they got felonies. Because even though you do your time, even though you do your 5 years or whatever you do, you carry that felony around forever.
Yep.
I mean, ever. When they say, do you have a felony? I got to mark it. Yep. So they carry that around. That's not fair, really, because you're making someone carry something that they've already paid the price for. And so what are they going to do? If they can't get a job,
go back.
I mean, they're going to go back.
Yeah, recidivism rates are something that keeps people in jail.
And
they come back in within a year or two. You look at those numbers, and I want to talk about this. You talk about these success stories. Cam and I were talking about the mechanic. Mm-hmm. Talk to folks about this story.
We had a guy that come in, and he was living in his car, right? And he came in. He was he's our very first student in the recycle program.
Okay.
So he comes in, and we just start talking to him. We said, man, come on, let's give it a try.
Okay.
So he comes in, and he had he was so highly intelligent, even though he hadn't finished high school, but mechanically minded, he could look at stuff. He taught us how to take computers apart because we were new at that. That was
right.
We had just started. So he's like, it's just like this, man. So he showed us that. Well, one of his dreams, because what we do is we have them set 6-month vocational plans. So they go, okay, what do you want to be as a career? If nothing was in the way, what do you want to be?
Okay.
He goes, man, I want to be a mechanic. I've always wanted to be a mechanic. So we set goals, like 3 6-month goals. Okay, what do you need to do to get to that? We need to get you this. We need to get this. What are your roadblocks? What's keeping you? And so he just worked through those, you know, along the time he was with us. And a friend of mine down the street, Barry's Automotive, I knew him. So I went to him. I said, man, this guy's amazing, man. He's just amazing. And I said, if you got anything to do, clean a shop. He's never done anything in a shop. He's only worked in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's done mechanic work in the yard. He said, if you got anything, clean parts, sweep your floors, whatever, I want you to see if you can let him come in. He said, all right, I'll come in there. So he comes in, and he gave him one of his hardest jobs that some of his other guys couldn't do. And he did it. And it was like, he was blown away. And he's told me, he goes, dude, this, and now he's full-time. He's a full-time mechanic.
Wow.
Working for him, being certified through that. But he told me, he says, I know certified mechanics that ain't as good as he is.
But if there wasn't somebody giving him those tools, he'd never gotten a chance.
He was floating around. I mean, he was just floating around living in his car. He'd probably been back in jail. Probably, yeah. You know, and that's the thing is that we gotta stop that cycle. And that's what I say. We break the cycle of poverty. That's what I want to do with work. Break that cycle because it is a cycle. It's just constant.
More than just a check.
More than just a check. And it's a mission. That's what I tell them. I say, this is your opportunity to be who God intended you to be. And it's not about making money. That's just part of it.
Right.
You ain't going to keep it if it's just about money.
Man, this is what you're doing is fantastic. I know a lot of folks here want to help. So reminder one more time, Ransom Ministries online.
RansomMinistries.com. We also are on Facebook. We're on Twitter, Instagram. Like I told you, I'm on Snapchat too, which I still ain't figured all that out.
But
you can come to our dinner. I'd love to have you at our dinner. There's a ticket. It costs money. But, hey, it's going right back into our ministry. We're going to have some really good speakers. So we have that. If you want to get involved with Reprogram, come sit through a class. Also, you can come up and do it. We'll give you a little tour of what we do and see if you're interested in any of the things we do. I'd rather have you want to be there and really feel called to be there than just come because, you know, you liked what I said. You know what I mean? So come tour.
You are an open book, Matt.
We're there all day long. We're there all day from 8 o'clock till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Come up there. Might even
Where's the in its location?
I'm sorry. 320 South Craft Highway, which is in Chickasaw.
Right.
You can do drop-offs there of your electronics as well from 8 to 2 Monday through Friday. So we have a place you can drop off. Anything with a cord. If you want, while you're dropping off, we'll show you around what we do, introduce you to some of the students, the guys. We are an open book. Whatever you want to know, we'll tell you.
I like it. Y'all, this is... this is a good man right here, a good man doing great work in our community. And keep it up, and I think you're going to get lots of things with cords dropped off, and hopefully some folks get to take a look around, Ransom Ministries, and what you're doing.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks
all
for
right,
having
and,
me.
And we'll put more information up on our social media sites, like Facebook. We don't have Snapchat. We'll put it up on Facebook and Twitter, so y'all can check that out and get out there for the dinner, and then hopefully make that donation and help them out at Ransom Ministries. Dalton, yeah, if we can get that up on the website, we'll do it. And let's see. Yeah, there's a lot of people on the text line who want to help you out, so that's a good thing. Makes me happy. All right, coming right back, we will wrap it up here and talk about an event coming up, Polo at the Points coming up. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Also, if you missed it earlier, President Trump responding to the press conference from Pelosi and Schiff today. It was about a 16-minute discussion from the president. That's in our podcast from last hour. You can check it out by going to fmtalk1065.com and clicking the link for podcast. Just get hour number one of Wednesday's Midday Mobile. You can check it out right there. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 1065.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. And Polo at the Point coming to a green grassy field near you in Baldwin County. Linda Lou Parsons joining us to talk more about that. Thanks for being in.
I'm delighted to be here.
So this is, how many years for this? It's been going on for...
This is the 30th year we've done the event.
Louise.
Can you believe that? 30 years.
I kind of don't remember there not being... Probably at the Point.
It's amazing. It's all volunteers. There's no paid executives.
Right.
And we've taken a break twice in 2002, and then we took a break last year because we were rained out, or it started downpouring on us in 2017. And we're like, okay, we have to regroup what we're going to do.
Yeah, it kind of has to be an outside event.
Yeah.
You can't say, now we're going to do this inside. Describe to people who've not seen this before, not gone, what is Polo at the Point?
Okay, this is the actual first, it's a game of polo. And, you know, there's water polo, and there's mm-hmm. cowboy polo, and then there's what they call the king of sports polo. This is polo. Imagine, all of y'all out there, a 1,000-pound horse
mm-hmm.
going 30 miles an hour, a player on it, holding on with his legs, and directing the horse with one hand, with the reins, and the other with his mallet. And the mallet's like, they usually call it by the same length of a horse, like 14
how many hands.
But it's made of bamboo and it bends. And it's such an adrenaline thrill for these players that they love it. And it's very, very fun to watch. It's set up where they have chuckers, which is like an inning.
Okay.
And
so I'm getting the term. I'm writing this down so I know the terms.
Yeah.
So chuckers, okay, I go sound cool.
Yeah. And I'm just telling you all about the sport itself. And they play it all over the world. Point Clear, Alabama, has had teams going back 40, 50 years. They even started out originally at the Mobile Airport grounds. Because here's another interesting fact. A polo field is 10 acres.
It's tough to find a 10-acre spot.
Yeah, you know? And that's like 9 football fields sideways in it.
So you've got the grounds there to do this. You have space. Let's talk about the event around it, Linda.
Good.
Yeah.
The event was started because people wanted to raise money and donate and be philanthropists in the community. So what this event is, Polo at the Point, it's a one-day event. It's Saturday, October 5th. This year it's one match. It starts at 11 a.m. You can come in your jeans and shorts and a sun hat and pay $10 and tailgate. So you come in and we open the gates at 9:30 for that. Now, you'll go to a parking area and we'll shuttle you back, or you'll walk back to the field side because there's not a lot of room for cars on this field. There is room to where you could park a car or two. And what we did is we sold those as tailgate sponsorships.
Okay.
We still have a few left. They're $750, and it's a 10x10 tent with a 6-foot table, and you can park two cars there, but you have a 24-foot wide area that'll go back about 30 feet, and you bring your food and beverage, your drinks, your chairs. You can invite other friends to come. They just have to pay $10 at the gate.
So there's a picnic.
It's a picnic. We also have a food truck there.
And so the match starts at 11?
The match starts at 11.
Okay.
And chuckers are like your innings. And the whole match will probably be over about 1:30.
Okay.
But there's a halftime that everybody loves to take part in. It's called divot stomping. And that is when, that's when, just like golf divots.
Sure.
These are the horse divots. You walk to center field, and the Grand Hotel, our presenting sponsor, will come out there with champagne. And everybody can have a glass of champagne.
While you stomp the divots.
While you stomp the divots.
And you need to do that on the golf course.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun? And then you also, we have a hat parade at the halftime, men and women, and hats, fascinators. We usually have about 100 to 150 people that participate in it, and we give 4 different awards for, it'll be like, I mean, they call it like the mother chucker, like, you know, the mother of all chuckers.
Right.
And, or the most creative, you know, they have fun names for it.
Right.
And we give prizes and trophies for that. We have a silent auction. Now, that silent auction is really unique. We have a lot of specialty items. And if you go to our website, www.poloatthepoint.com, you'll see a link to a click bid. And so you can actually, if you can't make it,
mm-hmm.
you can bid on this item online and then pick it up from us another day.
I like it a lot. All right. People, you said poloatthepoint.com?
Mm-hmm.
So can we get tickets through there?
Yes. Now, but you can just pay the $10 ticket at the gate for tailgate.
Okay.
But because the brunch is sold out.
Okay.
But there's also an event on Friday on that night called the Players Party at the Grand Hotel, and I can tell you about that when you're ready.
All right. Well, we're up against the break here, okay. So we'll come back and talk about that, get that on a show this week. But the event is on
Saturday, October 5th, 11 a.m. It's on Derry Road in Point Clear, right off of Scenic 98.
All right, very good. Lynn Lou Parsons, thank you for your time. Paul Feinbaum show on the way. We'll put more of this interview up on the podcast page. You'll be able to check it out online, fmtalk1065.com. And we'll be back tomorrow morning for Mobile Morning starting at 6.